9:14, my friend Rick Khan standing by. How are you this morning?
I couldn't be better.
When I play your opening theme, does it kind of cause you to twitch a little bit? Like, holy cow, is it 3 o'clock?
Yeah, kind of. You know, I hit the microphone exactly at the time I always hit it in the music. Right there. And I was like, hey, this isn't my show. I don't have to say welcome aboard. I don't have to do all that stuff that I do, at 3 o'clock.
So how are you?
I couldn't be better.
Let me tell you what we're doing. We're going to Vegas. And I'm not saying this just to rub it in your show's face, obviously. But we're going to Vegas, and we're inviting people to come with us to see the Hawks and the Golden Knights. Now, as a longtime season ticket holder of the Blackhawks, I assume you were there when the Golden Knights were in town?
I was there when the Golden Knights were in town. I happen to think that the Golden Knights are one of those things. I was just listening to Dave talk about the Corey Crawford situation. It's this is my nightmare, because it's been a decade of excellence here without question, where every year you thought they were going to do something spectacular.
Yeah, and the playoffs are automatic.
Yeah.
Right. And, I'm not worried about the playoffs. It's just a matter of how deep they go.
Right. And now I'm like, I don't know. And then when the Golden Knights were at the United Center, it's very cool to watch that team, because it's a team that is just, doing this on, they've got a lot of skill players, but they also are doing it on grit. Yeah. Because every single night when they go on the ice, they're taking on a team that passed on one of their players.
Yep.
Right? To let them go.
Yep. Yep.
And so the whole team rallies around that one guy.
Revenge. Every game's revenge.
I know. And then half of the games are taking on a team that's completely hungover because they were spent the night in Las Vegas.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the arena and seeing the Hawks beat these Golden Knights. You know, what was it, 5-4 the last time the Hawks and the Knights played late?
Yeah.
Jeff Glass and Forsberg, I mean, they're doing the best they can, but as we said earlier, they're not Corey Crawford. So we need Crawford to come back, even if he can't stand up straight. Because I don't think he would just stand in net and spin. I think he'd be a good thing.
Just to get to Roe's point about the opposing teams coming into Vegas.
Yeah.
In the Blackhawks' case, they will play the previous night at Arizona. Now, that's a short flight.
Yes.
Still, they'll get in pretty late to Vegas. So I'm sure they'll go to their hotel and go right to bed.
So you don't think I should go to Coach Q's room and go, hey, Coach, you want to go for a hike?
Go up to Lake Mead? No, I don't think so.
Hey, Coach, you want to go see the Hoover Dam?
Hey, you up? You're Coach, up, right?
Coach, it's Cochrane. I don't see that working out real well.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right, so if you want to enter, simply go to WGNradio.com/contest, go to the Steve Cochran page, upload a photo of why you are the number one knucklehead, most crazy Hawks fan, and you will be judged, and then we'll pick a winner coming soon.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned this, because we were, it's not funny, because I am jealous of this Las Vegas thing, because we were, the day that the promos started running for this, Richard Roper was on, and we just sort of rolled into this conversation on the show about how we should do a trip to Las Vegas where we take listeners, and it's like the Richard Roper experience in Las Vegas. Because he walks in, it's like Norm in Cheers.
Yeah, because he's there all the time, right?
I'm not even exaggerating. You walk into a casino, I've done this with him, you walk into like the Bellagio, and every pit boss, hey, Rich, how you doing? Oh, yeah, that was a bad beat last time. Hey, better luck this time. We were there, and we had a female accompaniment with us at the time, and his girlfriend and my wife were there, my ex-wife, and we were playing craps, and it wasn't going very well, and we ran to Mike Tice. The football coach was with the Bears at the time.
Yep.
And we were like trying to get up and talk to him at a craps table. And he's like, get away from me, kid. And so we're walking out of the casino, and Rich goes, hey, wait one second. And he puts $100 into a high roller slot.
Okay.
And $13,000 was the hit.
Oh, really?
And it doesn't, and they don't like make a bing 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 sound when that happens.
Right.
Just a little, and the high rollers, a little light comes on above the thing.
Yeah, they go, hey, congratulations.
And then a lady comes over with a clipboard, you know, they sign something, and then they handed him $13,000 in cash.
Is that right?
In stacks.
Oh,
yeah.
So you can tell I haven't had this experience.
And I'm like, wait, what are they doing? He goes, yeah, now they pay in cash. And I'm like, well, wait, I don't under what? What? So we were staying a couple hotels down, and we had to stuff the cash down our pants.
That'd be a problem I would love to have.
Well, here's the thing. You
not down out, your pants.
You
though.
Could go out in the casino lobby, and you could buy a leather bag for $12,500,
exactly.
And you only have to fill the bag with $500
right.
in cash.
That's really true. But the thing is they're like, well, you know, people are watching for this transaction to occur, right? There's always people kind of walking around.
Sure,
and
sure,
and, so,
sure.
And so, and then we're thinking, oh, my God, what do we do? So then it was like, you know, we all stuffed, I don't know, a couple $1,000 each, everybody's down everybody's pants, and then we split. We all went in different directions. It was very Ocean's 11.
Yeah, and when you got back to the hotel, if you didn't want to give Rich his cash, it's not like he's going to go get it.
Oh, no, we had to give him the cash.
That's what friends are for.
Don't you throw it on the bed and roll around in it?
Well, you know, giggle? This is funny. I'll
That's
tell you
just
a little.
A Tuesday for Ro. Come on.
Let me tell you a little funny story about that. So we give him all of his cash back. Goes up to his room, and so everybody was going to come down and have, you know, we bought champagne and celebrate this moment. And we were there, you know, I was there for a radio thing, so our general manager was there, and he was like, "I'll buy, you know, champagne
I'll
for
bet
everybody."
He was fun.
And he was actually, but this was so you know he was gone for like 90 minutes. And I'm like, well, where were you? We were down here waiting for to do the champagne. He goes, well, you win that kind of money, you got to throw it on the bed, and you never know what's going to happen. And that story alone made me never, ever, ever, ever want to touch cash again.
Yeah, I understand. You know,
I was really only kidding.
You know what's funny is I didn't think about this, and you may not know this, Ro. Andrea is a germaphobe, not like you are, but she's a germaphobe with money.
I know I won't.
And she doesn't want to touch paper money
or coins.
I know
that's why I don't carry. I will never if I get 99 cents back, I will leave it on the counter for the person behind me because I don't want to touch change.
I think journalists in Chicago of a certain age all have this fear because they've seen the Richard Speck prison tapes.
Oh, okay.
In which
okay, that's true.
In which Richard Speck and his cellmate played human ATM.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was the slot out of which the money was dispensed.
Well,
was
it's
not
as
the
bad as
part
you,
of the body.
Yeah, it's as bad as you think it is.
It was. Yeah. Yeah.
Now the trip itself comes up on February 12th, 13th, mm-hmm. and 14th. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do a Justin Kaufman show with him, night of the game, and then the following morning, mm-hmm. a couple hours with Pete McMurray, who still is praying to God I drop dead soon so we can get a full-time show again. But on your show this afternoon, I don't want to guess, but I'm thinking you're going to do a little bit of what we've done this morning, and that's try to decipher exactly what Trump weighs. Because he does not weigh 239 pounds.
There was a little bit of that yesterday, and then last night on the text exchange, everybody on the show was speculating because all those memes were coming out of the athletes who also weigh 200, yep. like 235 pounds, 6'3",
yep.
and all that.
Yep.
Well, you know, as my doctor likes to tell me, you know, there's a big difference between muscle weight and fat weight.
There you go. Yeah. That's what I always say too, Ro.
Yeah. Muscle does weigh more than fat, and it's very dense. So you can have somebody very lean and very heavy. And then you can have somebody very doughy and very heavy.
I can promise you that 239 is only about two-thirds of the way there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I'm approximately the...
well, you're 6'3", aren't you?
I'm 6'2".
6'2". Okay. Trump's allegedly 6'3".
Yeah. And I'm about... And I'm 237. So you tell me mm-hmm. if he's 239.
He's not.
You look at me, and then you look at
me.
He's
not close to 239. And I'm a couple pounds over 239, mm-hmm. and I'm 6 feet tall. And I can tell you right now, he's not 239. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not even close.
He's probably hiding a six-pack behind the KFC belly.
He's hiding a keg.
Yeah. I think he's also lying on that. Well, you remember he used to say he was 6'4".
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, you know what they do, though? This is what really gets you, a guy like Trump, is when you stand up on that scale that weighs you, mm-hmm. they have that little thing that comes down that, yeah. on your head.
Yeah.
And when it knocks the hair down by 2 inches, you know, it touches the top of your scalp, that's what they're actually measuring
I'm glad you mentioned the hair, because how bad a day was it for Merck stock yesterday? Because when you hear propecia is something that Trump uses and his hair looks like that, I mean, you know, some people are never going to use that drug again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing in the Michael Wolff book that that I fully enjoyed and somewhat believed was the now there was a grain of truth to almost everything in the Michael Wolff book, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean it was true. And the hair thing, apparently Ivanka explained how that hair gets to be that hair to Michael
right.
Wolff.
Pull it all up in a big hair circle.
Yeah, it's the great circle. It's the great orange circle at the top, and then you just spray it all into place, which you can see.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Well, we wish him the best.
It's a whole lot of not good.
We will, however, we did do the test. We did the psychological test yesterday.
Did you get 30 for 30?
I did not. I did not. And Violetta got 10 for 30, so that was not so good. But it was, I missed one because, well, Ben Bradley gave it to me early, and I missed one on the Ben Bradley early test because it was, I couldn't repeat a sentence word for word.
Okay.
To him.
Yeah.
But I'm in radio. I have a sequencing
and
issue.
And DeVellantis, how did she do?
She did great.
Yeah, of course she did.
She did awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Ro, did you guys ever get to the bottom of the Violetta saying that Joliet should be pronounced Joylet?
Yes.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
Seriously?
She said she watched a documentary and it's pronounced Joylet.
No, I worked there for 5 years. I was the news director at a radio station in Joliet, and we had this debate endlessly.
Oh,
it's
tremendous.
Joliet. I didn't hear that discussion, otherwise I would have called it.
Yeah, it was the other night. I was going to yoga, so I couldn't text it.
It's Joylet like toilet, and of course it's not.
No,
so.
It's Joliet.
Yeah, no. That's a joke.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, that's the thing. That's what people say as a slam against Joliet. There is an argument in Joliet about whether it's Joliet or Joliet.
Right. We had that argument all the time, too.
But it's
that
not
is for
Joliet.
Sure.
God, I
it
wish
is
I
not
heard
Joliet.
That.
And she's like, I saw it in a documentary. And I go, you didn't see it in a documentary.
I'm curious. I'd love to see the documentary about Joliet.
Well,
other than Blues Brothers, I don't think it's ever been mentioned in a movie.
Yeah, Mike Mathis used to say Joliet all the time. Remember?
Yeah. Joliet. I mean, there is a legitimate argument about that, and that was in the Jeffrey Bear.
Joliet.
The Jeffrey Bear, you know, the Channel 11 stuff when he did the Joys of Will County or whatever. So he was talking about, I think, the Joliet Joliet thing, and then somehow she saw that. I believe she might have been, you know, with a group of other pranksters at the time. They're like, no, they call it Joylet. And then it sort of got into her head, mm-hmm. and then she was there absolutely convinced that they call it Joylet. And I'm like, really? Really? No, it rhymes with toilet. I mean, they mm-hmm. don't say that's not real.
Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. We gotta have a talk with her.
Mm-hmm. The damn kids.
She's suspended immediately.
Yeah.
All right, 3 o'clock this afternoon on SEAL TV. And 3 to 7, it's Ro and Anna and everybody. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
See you later. That's Ro Khan. Again, Joliet.
Joliet.
Thank you for that.
You bet.